So good to see all of your faces this morning. Thank you for being here in person and also online. Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. My name is Scott Winters, and my pronouns are he and him. And I will be your lay leader this morning for this generous and welcoming and beloved community. We welcome you, whether you are here in person or watching online or watching a recorded service. You are welcome no matter who you are, whom you love, or how you identify your gender, if you do. You are welcome no matter the amount of money that you have, your employment status, or your housing situation. And you are welcome if your heart and life are full this morning, or if you're grieving, or if you're hurting. Know that you are welcome if you've been rejected and not welcomed in other communities. You are welcome here. This is a wonderful place to call home, a place to share your heart, and a place to give and receive love. We especially want to welcome those who are here for the first time today, who are visiting. We invite you to fill out one of our welcome forms. You can do that either on paper or on the QR code, which is on the seat in front of you, to just scan that with your phone. And when you do that, you'll be added to our email list so that you can receive our announcements and learn about all the things that are happening here at WUF. And there is a lot going on. Today's service is being live streamed, and you're welcome to watch the service live here in the sanctuary or downstairs where there's more room to roam around if you would prefer that. For our online viewers, we offer an online coffee hour following the service that you can socialize and talk about the service. And there's a link in your email that was sent to you this morning. For those of you that are here in person, please come downstairs after the service. It's a really fun time for just conversation and coffee and to just get to know each other. And today we have a couple wonderful speakers. Jean Trigstad, a member here, she's going to be offering and assisting me today during our special Earth Day service. And then we also want to welcome our guest speaker, Jacob Abanes, from Sunrise Movement PDX. He'll be speaking about his experience in the climate movement and what we can do about climate breakdown. Today's service coincides with Earth Day, which is tomorrow. So please join me in welcoming Jacob. I'd now like just to take a moment and greet each other and perhaps meet somebody you haven't talked to before, and I'll ring us back in about a minute or so. These are such lovely conversations, and I know there's always more to say, and I know there'll be lots of time after the service today to talk about all the things that are going on in each other's lives. And we have Isaac this morning, who's going to be lighting our chalice.
So this is from Love Letters to the Earth by Thich Nhat Hanh. Dear Mother Earth, each time I place my feet on the earth, I have a chance to be in touch with you and your wonders. With each step, I touch the fact that you are not just beneath me, but within me. Each gentle step can nourish me, heal me, and bring me into contact with myself and you in this moment. May the flame of this chalice ignite our commitment to care for our planet, to protect its beauty, and to honor, the interconnected web of life. So please join me in our opening affirmation. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous. Let us open our minds to learn what is true and what is mysterious. Let us open our hearts to love one another and Mother Earth.
Our opening reading is Eagle Poem by Joy Harho. To pray, you open your whole self to sky, to earth, to sun, to moon, to one whole voice that is you. And know there is more that you can't see, can't hear, can't know, except in moments steadily growing and in languages that aren't always sound, but other circles of motion. Like eagle that Sunday morning over Salt River, circled in blue sky, and wind swept our hearts clean with sacred wings. We see you, see ourselves and know that we must take utmost care and kindness in all things. Breathe in, knowing that we are made of all this. And breathe, knowing we are truly blessed because we were born. All Earth's critters got a place in the choir.
Oh, there we go. So there's actually three verses and a chorus that some of the older folks in the congregation may know. There's the chorus. And when we get to the end of the line where it says clap their hands or paws or anything out, now especially the kids, that's a good time to clap your hands, right? The end of each verse, there's like the old cow just goes moo. That's a good time to go moo. Or the old coyote howls. You get the idea, right? So have some fun with it. All God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing lower, some sing higher. Some sing out loud on the telephone wire. And some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got now. Listen to the bass, it's the one on the bottom where the bullfrog croaks and the hippopotamus moans and groans with a big to-do. The old cow just goes moo. All God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low and some sing higher. Some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands or paws for anything they got now. The dogs and the cats, they take up the middle where the hummingbird hums and the cricket fiddles. The donkey brays and the pony neighs and the old coyote howls. All God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low and some sing higher. Some sing out loud on the telephone wire. And some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got now. Listen to the top where the little birds sing on the melody. With the high notes ringing, the hoot owl hollers over everything. The jaybird disagrees. All God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low and some sing higher. Some sing out loud on the telephone wire. And some just clap their hands or paws for anything they got now.
Thank you. That was awesome. This is the time in our service when we pause to reflect on what we're grateful for today. And I am so grateful for all of the talent and music that is offered by this congregation. I'm just always so refreshed and renewed each week with all this beautiful music. So we think about the earth today and all the blessings and all of the things that the earth gives us for our sustenance, for our livelihood and well-being. We think about our breath, that we can breathe in clean air, that we have clean water to drink. We have friendships and love around us to help support us. And that as a community, we can work together to work towards helping end climate breakdown. These are all things that come to my mind today as we think about what we're grateful for. And I invite you in your own heart to think about what you're grateful for today. What is it that you are impacted by in your life that helps sustain you? And as we are here together, here at WOOF, it's a wonderful place to contribute. Contribute with your time and your talents, your financial contributions. And this is the time in our service when we take up an offering. Financial contributions are offered at this time, and we're just so grateful for all that you give to WOOF to help sustain us. The host can now come forward to receive our offering. you so much for your gifts today. And will you please join me now in our affirmation of gratitude and giving? Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others. We're very excited. This is our debut of our kids' choir. Yes.
Thanks, Scott. So we have all the kids come up and just stand on this top step in a line here. We'll see maybe one line. We'll see how it works. And then we have some musicians that are helping us along, too. So the kids are going to be singing today, leading us in song, "We've Got the Whole World in Our Hands," in honor of Earth Day. And they've been working on this song for the past couple of weeks, and they even wrote their very own lyrics. So listen carefully, because we got some really cool new lyrics to share with you today.
In our hands, we got the whole world.
uplifting. Thank you all. Wow. Okay, so now it's the time for our story. Dear children of the earth, I'm writing this letter to ask you for some help. Do you know who I am? I'm the planet Earth. I'm your home. I'm your mother Earth. And just like you, there's only one of me. So let me tell you about myself. I'm the boulders and the trees that you love to climb. I'm the wet sand on the beach that squishes between your toes. I'm the grass you lie down on to look up at the stars. I'm the rivers and the lakes and the oceans and the cold white glaciers. I love to hug you with my warm sunshine and tickle you with my wind and kiss you with my rain. Now let me ask you something. When you look in the mirror, what do you see?
Yourself.
Yourself, yeah. And you see what else? Your eyes.
Your background.
Yeah, oh, you can see your background, yeah. And your... You got to be careful about your background. Okay, so do you know what I see when I look in the mirror? I see all of the animals and the plants and the trees and the birds and the fish and the whales and the dolphins. All of these animals I see. Do you know they are my children? And that one giant rhinoceros. But there's something else I see when I look in the mirror. I see all of you. I do. And I see you because you too are my children. Mother Earth. All the animals, I tell you something. So all the animals that live on the earth, we could think about them as siblings, like we're all here together on this big blue planet. But there's one thing that bothers me as Mother Earth, is that many people don't know they're my children, and my children include adults. And so sometimes they treat the earth a little disrespectfully. Then they just don't know yet that we're all one big family. So, the animals have told me, oh, we're worried, Mother Earth. We're afraid because our homes are being destroyed by people who don't know better, or maybe they don't care. Not sure. They don't know that we're all siblings, and it's good for us to just take care of each other. You know, they also tell me they're cutting down our trees, and so then the birds don't have any place to go, and the squirrels don't have any place to go, and, you know, plastic's filling up our rivers and our oceans, and pollution is happening in the blue sky and making it kind of gray and icky. Will the whales and the dolphins swim when my oceans are too dirty to live in? And where will all the birds fly when the sky is poisoned or polluted? Imagine what life would be like to have no wild animals living on me. No squirrels, no elephants in Africa, no tigers, no pandas in China. They are so cute. I love them on Instagram. No birds in the trees. And what if there were no penguins in Antarctica? No kangaroos in Australia? Boy, that would really be hard to imagine because there are a lot of them. No grizzly bears or black bears in the United States and Canada? Imagine my oceans with no whales or dolphins swimming in them and popping up and the seals and the sea otters gone. Imagine how empty my blue sky would be with no birds, and how quiet the trees would be with no birdsong. I would be so lonely. And wouldn't you kind of be lonely too?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So my children, I'm just going to ask for your help. And that includes you all and us big children. Yeah, us big children like me. Yeah. So you say, well, gosh, Mother Earth, how can I help you and all of my sibling animals when you are so big and I am so small and I'm just one? Even when I'm adult, I'm small and just one. Well, my children, let me tell you something. I'm not so big when you think about me in the universe. I'm actually quite a small blue ball, even though it's quite big when we're on it. So when you go outside at night and look up at the millions and millions of stars, you will see how small I am. Yeah. Compared to the night sky, I'm really no bigger than you. But because I seem so huge, people think I don't know when they harm me. They think I can't feel the wildflower fires or the warming ocean. But you know I do. Yeah, I do. And it kind of hurts. My children, when many people do a little positive thing for me, it becomes a really big thing. So when you were talking about compost and picking up the trash, yeah, and riding your bike, those are really important things. And I thank you for doing those things because they help me out. Yeah. Yeah. So it's important to do those things. So thank you for your good example. So remember, there's only one of me and there are billions of people. I mean, we can't even imagine. How many? Wow, okay, see, wow, that's a lot. Over a billion. Okay. 10 billion. Yeah, I know, I think it's like it's in the hundreds of billions. What do you think?
Google what?
Ah, okay. Wow. All right, thank you for that. So because there's so many of us, if everybody does just a little bit, it's really going to help. Yep. So that's a good thing. So when you leave the room in just a few minutes, you are invited to write a note to Mother Earth. Yeah, I'm going to write a note on a little board. Yep. And so be thinking about what you already do or what you love about Mother Earth or what kind of promise you want to make to her. So my children, tell your friends what I've told you. Tell them that I am their only home planet and I need them to love me and care for me. Tell them all the animals are their siblings, and that we are all one big people and animals and plants on this earth. And that if they do little and big things, if you can, to help me, I will be healthier and I will be happier. And remember again, I'm your home and there's only one of me. So if you love me and care for me and protect me, I will always be your home forever and ever. And I love you with all my heart, Mother Earth. Yes.
I mean, there's probably everybody in this room already knows this, but if you don't take care of the earth, like if there were no animals and those pollution in the sky and in the waters and there's electricity from boats and things like that, then we wouldn't be able to survive. Not just all the animals, but we wouldn't either because we're animals too.
Yes. Wow. Oh, that's so beautiful. Thank you.
Humans are animals.
Yes. It does make sense. Yes. And then I'll get to you. Right, we need their milk. Uh-huh. And we need their meat. The animals. We need animals to survive. Yes. You have milk at your house. Yes. That's so good. It tastes so good. Yes. Then I'll get you next.
Without animals, bees pollinators wouldn't be able to pollinate and we would starve to death.
That is right. So without bees, there are pollinators for our food. And so we would be very, very hungry and some people would maybe starve, yeah.
If there weren't trees, you wouldn't even be alive.
Really? Right? Because yes. And they take in the carbon dioxide, the stuff that's harmful to us, and give us what's beneficial. Wow. So. Right.
If we pollute the earth, then we're just going to basically die off.
Right. There's no planet B. We couldn't possibly all get to planet B anyhow. Right. So maybe there's some like big people that run companies that could act a little better. Exactly. So what do you think? We're doing things that could make us die, but they probably don't know we're doing them. Some of us do, but especially about air, because guess what? We only have 7 miles. Okay, next. And then we'll probably have to yeah.
Also, another thing, too many people are building too many houses and things, and once they build them, they make them very expensive, so hardly anybody can lose on that. And I have to...
Right? Housing is too expensive.
You said on my street when I was 5, there were about 2 houses there, and now there's like 7, and they're building another one.
I know, that happened. Oh no, her favorite rocks that 7 ladybugs lived on that are gone now. Oh, okay. So thank you so much. I'm sorry. I don't think I did get to you. One more. Yeah. Squirrels and woodpeckers. We need them because they plant the trees. They make more trees grow. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
We're just so grateful for all of the energy and all of the voices.
Thank you. Yes.
You all give me so much hope for the future. Let us sing our children out. Thank you, Jean.
In our love, as you go, may your heart be at peace as you go, to nurture the spark of your precious life. We hold you in our love as you go.
Gives me such hope for the future. So beautiful. So this is our time for meditation and reflection. And I invite you to take another deep breath. And just center in into your body, into your seat, and become comfortable. And I'm going to read to you, we don't have an author on this, but it's called We Hold the Earth. We hold brothers and sisters who suffer from storms and droughts intensified by climate change. We hold all species that suffer. We hold world leaders delegated to make decisions for life. We hold that the web of life may be mended through courageous actions to limit carbon emissions. We hold for right actions for adaptation and mitigation to help our already suffering Earth community. We hold that love and wisdom might inspire my actions and our actions as communities, so that we may, with integrity, look into the eyes of brothers and sisters and all beings and truthfully say we are doing our part to care for them and the future of the children. May love transform us in our world with new steps towards life. We'll now just take a moment of silence for meditation, reflection, and prayer, as is your practice. There is so much, as we shared before, that we're grateful for. So much happiness, so much joy in our lives. But as we know, sometimes that joy and that happiness doesn't always last, and that sometimes we have those moments of sadness and loss and grief and suffering. And here as a community, we want to hold all of that, that there's a circle wide enough here for all of us and for all that we're experiencing. In our hearts, in our bodies, in our families, in the things that we hold dear. And this is a time in our service when we have a ritual where we ask you to come forward, if you'd like to place stones in the water to represent what's happening for you. I invite you to hold a stone and place what's happening for you into that stone. And the water represents us, who we are. We're not perfect. But we're here to hold, we're here to love, and we're here to listen. So as Betsy plays, I invite you, those who feel comfortable, to come forward and place a stone or two in the water. And I'll have the microphone here if folks would like to share just a sentence of what you'd like to bring today. Your father, Fred. Okay, thank you for sharing.
I've slowly been rebuilding my relationship with my estranged daughter, and it's been very tentative. And I had a wonderful conversation with her yesterday, and my heart is full with hope.
I'm having hand surgery on Tuesday, so keep me in your prayers.
My cancer is not into remission. I'm so grateful for that.
We're grateful your cancer has gone into remission. Yeah.
My mother's having next surgery Wednesday that will hopefully relieve a lot of her pain.
Gratitude, one for the recent opportunity to be grateful even for my needs and to experience the generosity of this fellowship, and the second in celebration of my birthday, which I hope you'll all join in this afternoon.
Grandson will be taking his driver's test Thursday morning, so please keep a positive thought.
And I'd like to place one more stone that represents all that we hold in our hearts that are left unspoken today. To invite Jean and Jacob forward now as we read a reading called Gratitude by Gary Snyder, and it's based on a Mohawk poem.
Gratitude to Mother Earth, sailing through the night and day, and to her soil, rich, rare, and sweet. In our minds, so be it.
Gratitude to plants, the sun-facing light changing leaf, and fine root hairs. Standing still through wind and rain, their dance is in the flowing spiral grain. In our minds, so it be.
Gratitude to air, bearing the soaring swift and the silent owl at dawn. Breath of our song, clear spirit breeze, in our minds, so be it.
Gratitude to wild beings, our brothers teaching secrets, freedoms and ways, who share with us their milk, self-complete, brave and aware, in our minds, so be it.
Gratitude to water, clouds, lakes, rivers, glaciers, holding or releasing, streaming through all our bodies, salty seas, in our minds, so be it.
Gratitude to the sun, blinding, pulsing light through trunks of trees, through mists, warming caves where bears and snakes sleep. He who wakes us, in our minds, so be it.
Gratitude to the great sky who holds billions of stars and goes yet beyond that, beyond all powers and thoughts, and yet is within us. Grandfather Space, The mind is his wife. So be it. If you have felt overwhelmed, angry, afraid in response to the news of increasing climate breakdown, animal extinction, and harm to our health due to dirty air and plastic trash, you are not alone. If you've been seduced into believing that you have no story that is valid, no wisdom to offer, no gifts that matter, no power to make a difference, you are not alone. If you believe that loving communities willing to act together can organize to support the diverse flourishing of human and other than human life, you are not alone. Today I'm honored, and we are honored, to have as our guest Jacob Apinis. Jacob grew up in Portland in the Hillsdale neighborhood, and not long ago joined the community group PDX, the Sunrise Movement. And he serves currently as the outreach co-lead for that organization. And today we'll hear how Jacob became involved in the climate movement and Sunrise's unique position in that movement. So please welcome Jacob.
I thought I would just say a little aside that you guys meet in a forest, which is pretty cool. I've driven by here pretty often to go to the Portland Clinic nearby, so I always drive past it, and it's always cool to see, so it's nice to actually be here. I also feel pretty welcomed. I've been in a lot of religious spaces before. I went to the University of Portland, which is a Holy Cross congregation, which is not as accepting to many types of people. I also went to an Episcopal church growing up, which was pretty accepting, but it didn't feel as welcoming, especially when like the initial sayings are very like, we accept you for who you are, we accept you for what you can bring, who you, like if you have no home. So anyway, just very happy to be here, very welcomed. So as Jean said, I'm from Portland. I grew up in the Hillsdale neighborhood. I went to Wilson High School. It's now called Wells High School. And I've kind of always known that climate change is scary. I think when you learn about it, like truly when you're like 8, 9, maybe like 11 or 12, they pretty much treat it as how it is, which is like this existential crisis. There's going to be forest fires and droughts and floods, and the world's going to be really hot and it's going to burn up. No, nothing's going to survive. And that's still true today, and it's still very scary. So I was pretty honored to hear the little kids talking about the extinction stuff, which is like really scary, but they seem pretty, at least they understood it. So it's very cool. A little sad too. Anyway, so for a long time, known about climate change, known about climate breakdown, I call it the climate crisis. That's the way that we phrase it at Sunrise Movement, because it is a crisis. And the reason that I act is because I know that we have to do something to fight a crisis. So, I haven't really been involved in climate organizing for a long time. I got really involved last year around February, but obviously knew it was an issue. I think for a long time, I feel like political leaders can maybe do enough to see things change. And as someone in high school and in college, I was kind of hoping that people in power would really do enough so I'd be happy for them or be proud that things are actually changing. But I keep seeing international reports saying that climate change is getting worse, that we're on trajectories to see mass extinctions, to see billions of people from the global south come to the United States and potentially just be rejected by our own governments. So that's not to like put fear in your own hearts, but just for me, it's like a pretty terrifying thing to hear and a really thing that's scary for me. So even then, so like 2020, 2021, didn't really know what I could do about the climate crisis. Knew it was like a pretty big deal. Knew things needed to change. Finally got past my head that people empowered will not make a difference. Like they are very much happy with how things are going, even if it is pretty dangerous. So that's all to say that in 2022, I opened Twitter for the first time in like a decade. And the first tweet I got was that, it's pretty crazy. From Coin 2 or Coin 6, and they were saying that there were high schoolers that were going to protest at City Hall, and they were going to do a march from City Hall to Revolution Hall in Portland. And I, being someone that wanted to do something and was like, I don't want to work today, decided to skip my job for the day and bike down to City Hall and experience what was kind of like my own birth in the climate movement, which was seeing thousands of kids that are much younger than me that were 16, 17, 18. At this point, I'm like 23. Seeing them all have a unified voice, being upset and trying to actually make a difference. Now, obviously, like, rallies aren't the end-all, be-all to organizing, but it's a really great first place to go to, where you can be around a congregation of people that are all like, we don't like what's happening right now, and we want to see changes. So I was able to go on that march. We were able to march across Burnside Bridge all the way to Revolution Hall, met a bunch of lovely people that really mobilized me into actual climate action, and I met a lot of groups that were there that are doing their own really good work, like 1,000 Friends of Oregon, Friends of Trees, Divest Oregon. These are groups that I really admire and think they do awesome stuff, and I'm friends with most of the organizers that are there nowadays. So I didn't know much about Sunrise until a year later. I like went to the march, and then I did some small things with 350 and like moved around, but eventually I went to City Hall in February of last year to talk about the climate charter. Another thing about City Council, or Portland City Council, is they're really bad. We had a chance to enshrine environmental justice into the City Council charter, and didn't get enough votes to be referred immediately to voters, so it had to go to City Council first, who then had to refer to the voters for them to vote it. But again, they're bad, so they didn't refer to the voters. But I was there to give testimony and to explain why it's really important to me that we actually fight for climate justice, why putting rules to force any decision that we make in Portland to actually have a lens of the environment, to have a lens of carbon emissions, how important that really is for our own livability. It was really important for me to be there for that talk. And I met some high schoolers that organized with a group called Sunrise PDX, or Sunrise Movement PDX. And back then, it was mostly high schoolers. So I actually walked up to them and I was like, wow, you guys are so cool. I love what you guys do. But I'm like 23. I'm too old for you guys. And Sunrise Movement is a group of people that are under 35. And I didn't know that at the time. So they said, if you are younger than 35, you're considered youthful. Which I think is true. I don't know. I guess I think so. Anyway, I was like, that sounds awesome, and I really do agree with the identity of Sunrise Movement. And Sunrise Movement, for those who do not know, is a movement that is trying to build a multiracial, cross-class movement across the entire United States to end the era of fossil fuels, bring a lot of investments into communities, and build the green union jobs that we actually need to end the crisis. So we've talked a lot about like individual action, like recycling and composting. But that doesn't really mean a whole lot when the Biden administration is permitting more oil extraction than any presidency in U.S. history. It does not matter what good we do individually if those that are in power are just destroying the planet. If they're deciding to drill in the Arctic, if they're deciding to cut old growth trees, if they're deciding that when a flood or hurricane happens. When a flood or a hurricane happens in the United States, they don't actually give assistance or aid to the people that were really hurt. Like, it doesn't matter how good we are at recycling. So I really jive with that. That's like an awesome thing to be fighting for, to say that we need system change, and we can do that by organizing young people across the entire country, by mobilizing everyone across the entire country to say, you have to do these things or you cannot be in power. Because, like, most of my senators, people in Congress that get donations from fossil fuel agents, the companies, like, they are incentivized to do nothing, to destroy the planet. So the only way that we make it possible for them to do what we ask is to make it clear that if they don't, they cannot win. So I organized a Sunrise to really build that collective action and to make our voices heard. I was in L.A. last weekend for a climate disaster training and action. We talked about what we as Sunrise PDX can do to respond to forest fires or smoke seasons that happen in Portland, how we can actually build community through these crises. And obviously the first step is like for us to feel safe, but then to hopefully help our community afterwards. We also follow that training by protesting at Kamala Harris's house. She, it turns out, lives, or her former home is in Brentwood, California, which is like 10 minutes from Santa Monica. It's a neighborhood that has no sidewalks, so it's very rich. So anyway, we protested at her house. We had a couple of article pieces in the LA Times and Bloomberg and other stuff, and it worked. Like, our goal was to treat her as an ally, to say, in 2019, you said you supported the Green New Deal, and now you haven't really done anything. We believe you can be a good person, but you must act for us. We want you to declare a climate emergency and put your money into climate disaster response, into denying fossil fuel permits, into these things. And what we got from that action on Sunday and Monday is we got Kamala Harris to back out of Jimmy Kimmel, because she flew to Las Vegas to go fundraise, and then she didn't want to come back because we were protesting at her house. So she said, I'm going to cancel LA. I'm going to go back to DC and do work. But then the same day, they decided to do climate disaster or climate emergency response in two counties in California that were in response to the winter storms that happened this winter. And then the day after that, Biden announced that he was going to renew talks for a climate emergency declaration, which, like, is a pretty big deal, at least to say that 40 of us ended up going to Kamala Harris's house and getting mad. And then 2 days later, we got news articles saying they're thinking about it. Obviously, just 40 of us won't actually force the Biden administration to do something. But maybe 4,000 will, or 40,000. And the goal for Sunrise is to really be building the community and the connections that we kind of see it here as well. Like, we are here having a good time singing, learning from each other. And the same thing happens at Sunrise, where we want to connect with each other, where we want to build our relationships. We want to do really cool stuff, while also just, like, being friends, too. Because we know the way that we actually build the community and the actions we need is if we are actually already in community. We kind of live in a place right now in a world where people in power want to divide us and want to, like, tear apart community. So to fight against that and to find ways to actually build relationships with your neighbors or with people in your own city or town is pretty awesome. It's also against the status quo. And it's kind of saying, like, screw you to those that are in power, because they don't want us to be connected. So, anyway, to, like, close, if you're not 30, if you're not under 35, even if you're not useful, you can still take action. There are plenty of groups that I organize with. Yeah. There are plenty of groups outside of Sunrise that do amazing work. I think the ones that I admire most is 350 PDX, which has been around in Portland for about a decade now. They just celebrated their 10-year anniversary last year. And they do awesome work for forest defense and for fossil fuel resistance. And they've been kind of on the front lines for denying any fossil fuel expansions happening in the Portland area. And they're a really good person fighting against Zenith. If you care a lot about divestment, so making sure that our states, our cities don't care about, or making sure that our states and our cities don't invest in fossil fuel infrastructure, you can focus on Divest Oregon, which is, to me, a really good group. They just managed to get coal divested from the state treasury this year. They're much more policy-driven, though. So if you're, like, wanting to do action, if you want to, like, actually march or, like, talk to people or build community, I really recommend 350 PDX. And if you actually are under 35, we would love you to be a part of this, Sunrise PDX and help organize for that cross-class, multiracial future that actually is trying to end the era of fossil fuels. So I also have a couple of things for action. There's a QR code that will be up here. If you do live in Portland, I don't know if everyone here does, but if you do live in Portland, we're trying to defend PSEF, which is the Portland Clean Energy Fund. It's this huge transformational bill that takes a 1% tax on our most expensive retail corporations, those that make over $1 billion a year, and it redirects those fundings towards projects that weatherize homes, that plant trees, that do tree maintenance, that fund good-paying jobs to lower-income communities, and it's led by community-led efforts and nonprofits that do this work. Our city council, being bad as they are trying to defund it completely, or put most of that money back into police and fire. Me personally, seeing that we need like about $49 billion for climate disaster response in Portland, thinks that we can probably keep PSEF money fighting the climate crisis. So that's a big action too. I also have cards downstairs that are postcards to be sent out to Senator Wyden. Merkley, for the most part, is pretty good when it comes to environmental stuff. He really does push for Green New Deal policies, the Green New Deal being the New Deal back in the 1930s, but isn't just for white people, and also focuses on climate, too. Murphy's pretty good on that. Wyden is less so. So we want to push him to actually be more of an ally. So those are my two big actions. I'll be downstairs for the next 30 minutes, 45 minutes after this. So if you want to talk more about what Sunrise does or what, why I'm so motivated to be a part of this movement, feel free to chat to me. And that's all.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jacob. And there's going to be a budget meeting today, I was just told, at noon. So you have half an hour to talk to Jacob after our final song, and then please come to the budget meeting. We're going to be singing The Tide is Rising.
But please rise.
Please rise. Benediction is by Nancy Wood, and you're welcome to remain standing. Hold on to what is good, even if it is a handful of earth. Hold on to what you believe, even if it is a tree which stands by itself. Hold on to what you must do, even if it is a long way from here. Hold on to my hand, even when I have gone away from you. We extinguish this flame, but not the vision and compassion of our faith. May they stay with you until we all meet again. I invite you to join hands, turn towards the center, and sing Carry the Flame. Carry the flame.